Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willamitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
It is Holy Smokes Catholic Review, Father Scott, and welcoming back today from Indianapolis, Mr. Tony Willamitis. We'll bring him in a little bit, all right? A little prayer request before we get started. Pray for Billy Tapia. That's Will's dad. He is having a procedure today, so we're hoping for and praying for a very speedy recovery, so that would be greatly appreciated if you, the listener, could keep Billy Tapia in your prayer. All right. So I mentioned Tony is back, and so we're happy to have him. We're going to be discussing in a little bit the gospel reading from the second Sunday of Ordinary Time. Yes, we are in that green season of Ordinary Time. And if you ever wonder, you know, what does it mean, Ordinary Time? Well, we call it Ordinary Time because it's not Christmas time. It is not Easter, nor is it Advent or Lent. It's just ordinary time. And we wear the color green because green is, you know, symbolic of life, of course. And the Lord is the giver of life. And in fact, the abundance of life, eternal life. All right. So it's ordinary time. And the reading for this Sunday takes us once again to the banks of the Jordan River, where Jesus, of course, was baptized by John. So last Sunday, you know, the first Sunday of the year, and which is liturgically kind of like the last Sunday of Christmas, well, we celebrated the feast of the baptism of Jesus. And of course, the readings took us to that Jordan River, the banks of the Jordan River. And so today we continue with our readings, okay, set at that place, the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized by John. So we'll be talking about that in just a little bit, all right? Okay, so if you're a football fan, if you're a 49er fan, congratulations. If you're a Packer fan, I'm sorry. If you are a Chief fan, congratulations. If you're a fan of the Titans, better luck next year. I can tell you that Vrabel's a great coach and he's going to take that team places. You just watch. They're going to be around for a while, as are the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs with young Mahomes are going to be around for quite a long time. And I'm really kind of polling for them. Number one, because I just don't like the 49ers. There you go. But I want to see Reed. I'd love to see Reed get a Super Bowl ring. That would be pretty cool. You know, he's had rough family life, you know, so a lot of problems there. So it'd be really cool, I think, to see him get a ring. That'd be kind of cool. Listen, if you're an attendee, all right, that's hard to say, man, an attendee. You have to say it slow, because if you try to say it fast, it just an attendee doesn't work. So you have to say, if you are an attendee at St. John Vianney, don't forget, on Super Bowl Sunday, there is no 5 o'clock mass. Okay. Because, you know, we've tried it in the past, and Super Bowl Sunday, like a handful of people show up. So we just don't have the mass and let everybody go home and watch the football game. Okay. So a little note on that. And I'm going to make a prediction. I'm taking the Chiefs. Here's my prediction. Chiefs 42, San Francisco 28. Final score, 42-28. That's my prediction. All right, well, we'll see how good I am at predicting. Couple weeks. All right. Hey, listen, last week we talked about some movies, and William had mentioned that he had seen The Joker and how he felt coming out of that film. And I mentioned Schindler's List, which I saw many years ago in Indianapolis, is where I saw that movie with a group of friends. And when we came out of the film, yeah, it was just, I felt different and down. So I even said to the group of guys I was with, let's find a bar. You know, I need a drink. But at least with that movie, there was redemption, you know, because Schindler, you know, gives all his wealth away to save lives. Well, the Joker, and Willie was right about this, there's no redemption. It's just dark from beginning to end. So there's no redemption to that film whatsoever. So if you haven't seen it and you ask me what my opinion is, well, if you want to be down, if you want to see a real downer movie with no redemption, then see it. But yeah, it's just dark, dark, dark from beginning to the very end. Yeah. Another movie that is out, of course, is The Two Popes. And if you ever read the works of George Weigel, who's oftentimes posted on New Advent, here's a headline. I think I might have mentioned this last week. The Two Popes, pure baloney, but brilliantly acted. So I can understand, I bet, without even seeing it, I haven't seen it yet, but I bet I know why it's pure baloney. Maybe I'll discuss this with Tony when he comes in. So, all right. So let's see. I guess that's about it for the headlines that I want to kind of look at today. Tony will have some other things to discuss. So, all right. So let's bring him in, man. He's been away for quite a while, ever since, I think, before Christmas time. And we're happy to have him back. Mr. Tony Willimitis.
Hey now, everybody. Oh, look at that. Applause, even. That's pretty special. And it just continues to go on. Now, that's great.
Well, sure.
I felt like I was at the, I felt like I was at an AFC or NFC playoff game there for a second.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
You kind of like a UFC. Did you say UFC? You're kind of like a UFC kind of
UFC.
Did you say UFC?
No, I said NFC or AFC. Football. I was talking football, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, some seriously good football these days. I, of course, took in the college championship game back in Indiana, where I've been for the past month and 1 week.
We actually watched it while we were taping
the last episode.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought I heard something like that going on when I was, I don't listen to the whole podcast. You guys are just kind of boring, you know, I'm kidding. That's just a joke. But I actually listen the last time, and I was hearing you refer to things happening on the television. And of course it was after the game was over, so it wasn't any use to me other than to relive the moment. What great football we've been treated to, both on the college and the professional level. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for your own, the demise of your own personal favorite team. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it was a pretty well fought fight.
Well, they can't win every year.
That's right. They can't be the champions every single year.
Every year.
Although they say, so what's your take on, they say that your boy Brady is going to come back and try and end on a good note.
Well, I said this about 5 minutes ago that he'll be in a Patriot uniform next year.
Yeah.
He will win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he'll quit.
That's your prediction.
Mm-hmm.
End on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
What if for some, God forbid, what if something like, you know, doesn't work out in his favor, then he just keeps trying and trying?
Well, then
it'd be kind of sad.
Becomes an old man, and guess what? He does commercials.
Right.
Makes tons more money than
that's probably true.
Made being a football player.
That's probably true. Well, so the day I got back last Wednesday, as a matter of fact, and the day after I got back, Thursday morning, it started snowing. Mm. I thought I was leaving all that back east, although I think they've been treated to better weather than even New Mexico.
You know, last week, I think in New Jersey and New York, it was up to the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
So here, last Wednesday, mm-hmm. and you know how it is, January and February in New Mexico, usually it, you know, you dress in layers because in the morning it's quite cold, but right. then it warms up in the afternoon, right? So
yeah.
Last Wednesday, played golf. So I had on my polo shirt,
right?
On top of it, a sweatshirt.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of the sweatshirt, I had a hoodie. So by hole, we teed off at 12 noon by 2 o'clock, or actually by hole, the second hole, off came the hoodies, and then by hole five, I'm guessing, off came the sweatshirt. So now we're in our short sleeve, you know, polo shirts playing golf, and it was close to 60. It was beautiful. And, you know, when the sun hits you, you just warm right up.
Oh, yeah. New Mexico sun, there's nothing warmer.
Then the day after, 5 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And then the day after that, on Thursday,
right.
or no, on Friday,
Friday,
got up to 50.
Yeah, it was back warm again. And it's still warm, and the snow is pretty much melted off. With a few bare spots out on the ground, but well, I'm
anywhere,
imagining...
Anywhere that's like north?
Shady.
You're shady?
It's not yeah. too sunny, because the sun will just burn it off.
Yeah. In like an hour.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's one of the things we enjoy about New Mexico is the sunny weather. And despite the other weather patterns that we might experience, we always can be assured every other day, probably, we could say at best, or at worst, I should say, every other day.
Well, how was it in Indianapolis?
You know, Indiana was pretty nice, actually. I got there, same kind of story. I got there and there was snow on the ground. And then the next day or two, it started warming up and it's pretty warm. We had a green Christmas.
Wow.
It was not white at all.
Wow. We had a brown Christmas here.
Yeah.
The usual
brown everything.
Brown Christmas.
Brown every holiday here in New Mexico. Well, they say that there's a beauty to the desert. You just got to have the eyes to see it, you know? That's what they say anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I see the different shades of brown now that I've lived here long enough.
Oh, I love the
brown
desert.
Brown and red and, you know, it may not be green per se, but there's some green spots and, you know, the mountains and so forth.
No, but see, people think the desert, there's no life.
Right.
Desert's teeming with life.
Yeah.
Vegetation. Animal life.
Just a different type, yep.
Birds of all kinds.
That's right.
It's alive.
I'll tell you what's cool. What was cool, I came back on an Amtrak. I came back from Indiana on an Amtrak all the way to New Mexico. And what was really neat was to see the diversity of landscapes that you pass through on your way to beautiful New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And to start out with the Midwestern grass and trees and flat, you know, farmland and so forth. And then you go through the Great Plains with wide open Kansas hay fields and wide open spreads of land and different colors there. And then eventually you make your way out, you know, far enough to get into eastern New Mexico. And then you start to experience some mountains and some desert, you know, vegetation. And you do see like the wildlife, you know, running across. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I actually do think I wasn't quite and my eyesight wasn't good enough to see what this herd of animals was, but even going through the Great Plains, I think I may have come across, believe it or not, a herd of antelope.
Well, there's antelope all over northern New Mexico.
Yeah.
And, or northeastern New Mexico.
Yeah.
Tons. Antelope or oryx. They call them oryx, I think. Onyx.
Oryx.
Oryx.
Oryx, yeah, I think.
Oryx, onyx, OxyClean. I'm not sure what they...
Exactly.
All these things, but
we have a beautiful country and we live in a beautiful part of the country.
You know where you see the change is when you're like in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
That's when you kind of see that change, that transition.
Right.
You know?
That's right. Yeah. Oklahoma is kind of the marker for going from the Great Plains to the Southwest.
Right. Because you can see like the landscape begins to change slowly but surely. And the farther west you go,
it's true.
It starts changing more and more. You start seeing yuccas and cactus and things, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, did you have a good Christmas?
But it was great. You know, the Christmas
itself?
Christmas Day, the Christmas octave, the Christmas tide, it was all very lovely. Mm-hmm. Had a great amount of time to spend with my mother, who's in dementia care. And then some of my siblings got together, came from other parts of the country, and we all convened there in Indiana and spent time with mom. And I had multiple visits with mother, and it was great, man. It was super awesome to be able to do that. You know, we owe such a great debt to our parents, and I always feel like a debt of gratitude anytime I get a chance to spend now with her in that regard. And so, and speaking of, well, I think you already mentioned it a little bit earlier, right? I wanted to make sure we also mentioned, speaking of parents, that we mentioned the need for prayers for Will and his father, who's having a sensitive, or a surgery, I should say, having a surgery, it's, you know, I'm sure it's pretty kind of a, nowadays it's funny how many surgeries are standard surgeries. But we do pray that everything goes well there. And it's very good that Will's with him and his own dad, during this process. So
yeah,
we miss him this week, but I'm happy that, in fact, I did notice it's interesting that Will disappeared the very day I decided to come back on the podcast.
Well, I thought about it myself.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe we're the same person.
Well, we were going to, you know, we were planning to last night, right? But then, you know, there's football games going on.
Yeah, that's true. It happens.
And that game, I was, you know, so, well, I had mass at 5:00. So I thought, well, at least I'll catch the second half. Well, yeah. When I get done with Mass, I come out. It's 27-0.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. That was
San Francisco. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
That was a blowout game. That was a blowout game. Not like the LSU-Clemson game that was so close and so interesting and fun. I really thought they both came out of the gate really strong, but LSU just kind of seemed to figure things out, or at least got lucky.
Yeah. Now, listen, we would like to invite the LSU team here to the rectory in Rio Rancho, because guess what?
What?
You can smoke cigars in here and no one's going to, you know, call security and throw you out.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody's going to come and shake a stick at you smoking cigars here, like they did when they were smoking cigars in the locker room. What a cool Instagram photo there was of the quarterback, Joe Burrow. Is that his name?
Yeah. That Joseph kid Burrow. He's good.
He's something else, isn't he? He's one cool cat, man.
Doesn't he look like he's 8 years old?
He looks super young. Well, they all look young now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm getting older, but what a cool. And, you know, here's my new endeavor. Now that I've seen that the LSU team smoke cigars, my new endeavor is to find out what cigar they were smoking, order it online or wherever I can find it, and then we can give it a review sometime in the near future.
Well, I thought you sent me an article that gave the name of that particular cigar. I think,
I think what I came up with so far is that it was a cigar produced with the famous NBA basketball player, Karl Malone. Mm. And I think, I can't remember the, Arturo, I think is the name of the...
Arturo Fuente?
No, that may not be the right name of the cigar maker. Well, anyway, we'll find out who makes the cigar and try and get some, and then we can review them on the podcast. Now, while I was in Indiana, I should say I had already mentioned on the podcast prior to Advent that I was giving up cigars during Advent. So my first cigar back was after Christmas, back in Indiana. I was trying to get, there was a little bit of a foible in my travels, and I got stuck in Indianapolis, and so I went and found our old favorite, like you guys mentioned on the podcast, I think before, found our old favorite Indianapolis cigar bar called Nicky Blaine's.
Yeah, Nicky Blaine's.
I think
Blaine's.
You guys were calling it Nicky V's or Nicky B's or something.
You know,
I don't know what you guys were doing.
No, because there's
calling it something.
There used to be a restaurant here called Nicky V's, so we got confused. That's
So Nicky Blaine's is a really awesome, like you guys had already mentioned, it's a really awesome cigar lounge in downtown Indianapolis. So I went and holed up there while I was waiting for my ride to come get me, and I smoked my first cigar since before Advent, and it was glorious. And now I'm smoking my second cigar, thanks to you, Father, since before Advent. So I guess we now would say that the idea that Christmas continues for a season, and that season historically or traditionally goes up until Candlemas on February 2nd, or otherwise known as the Presentation of the Child Jesus, or also known as the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And one of the reasons they call it Candlemas is because on that day, again, traditionally, candles for the house and for the church are blessed at that particular mass. And so that's coming up on February 2nd. So we can still say we're in the Christmas season. We can't kind of say, we can actually say we're in the Christmas season, but we are past the Christmas octave and past the Christmas tide.
Well, aren't we in Christmas tide now? Because Christmas tide is supposed to be 40 days, Christmas plus 40 days,
I always get the word season and tide screwed up. This is one of those moments
there's the octave of Christmas. Okay, we know that. That's the 8 days. That's Christmas and then the 8 days. And then there's what we say is liturgical Christmas season, which ended last Sunday with the feast, or 2 Sundays ago with the feast of the baptism of our Lord. Then there is Christmas tide, which was created to kind of reflect the 40 days of Lent. You know what I mean? Or the 40 days of, how'd that work? But in any case, it's Christmas plus. So it would actually end, Christmas tide would end on the 2nd of February, which is the Feast of the Presentation, also known as Candlemas. You see?
Right?
Okay.
Yes, I think sometimes the words season and tide get interchanged, and that's why I end up getting confused.
Yeah, so Christmas season is done. And I'm waiting for summer season myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good one to have.
Yeah.
Are we doing... when it starts to get cold. I'm just looking up to see. I can't tell. I'm going to have to do some further research to know how to use those words season and tide the right way. Well, I trust your judgment on that. Anyway, point being, yes, there are three markers. There's four markers. Christmas Day, the Christmas octave, then Christmas whatever goes until Epiphany. Uh-huh. And then there's post-Epiphany until the until the baptism of the Lord. And then there's finally the marker at February 2nd.
Mm-hmm. So, we get ready for Lent.
So there's a great question. I saw something when I was in India, and I saw a news story that I don't think it was on the internet about some people in New Mexico, especially in Albuquerque, that keep their Christmas decorations up probably for the entire month of January, or at least until the baptism of the Lord, because they were still up a couple of weeks ago and some neighbors were complaining. I think that was a news story on a local news station.
Oh my goodness.
And I thought it was funny because, one of my friends gave the news station heck for not recognizing that, hey, Catholics have a tradition, right, of Christmas lasting a little bit longer. Yeah. And the news story never mentioned that motivation.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's just some people who just like Christmas decorations. They just keep them up just because they like them. Well, but then there's a lot of others who do it for religious reasons.
Well, there's some, but then there's some people who just don't take them down because they're lazy.
Right.
You just leave
you can
the
just keep
up.
Decorating the tree for different holidays throughout the year.
I went into a house once. I kid you not. I'm not making that. I got called to go bless a house. I went in. It was, I'm telling you, it was summer. It was the dead. It was like July.
Yeah.
Christmas tree in the corner.
Wow. With Christmas lights, not like with...
They wasn't plugged in.
Oh, I see.
But the whole thing was decorated.
They just didn't want to put it away.
At least dust this thing off once in a while, you know?
Yeah, they should at least do that much, you would think, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. What else has been going on? So now we're shaped up, speaking of football, we're shaped up for two teams to match each
funny?
Other.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
You just asked a question and you didn't give him a chance to answer a question. You just launched into whatever.
Well, I just assumed you would be talking about football. So I just kind of preempted you.
I did talk about football earlier and I'm jazzed, you know. Oh, I mentioned, you know what the thing, I don't know if I mentioned this a little bit. I mentioned on a Sunday that, you know, the football, you notice how we can't get away from liturgy. We love liturgy.
It's true.
And that's why we have parades. It's why we have, so isn't it interesting how football, the NFL is becoming, think about it. So now they're starting to invent their own feast days and solemnities.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's
playoffs. Yeah,
well, but they call that Championship Sunday. Like it's a feast day or something.
Yeah.
Wednesday, the Wednesday before the Super Bowl, they call that Media Wednesday.
Wow.
Kind of like Spy Month or what is it?
Spy Wednesday. Yeah.
Spy Wednesday. I mean, you know,
yeah, you're right.
Holy Thursday. And then
they're going to have an NFL calendar so that you have all the important dates marked out on the calendar. Mm-hmm. They'll start selling them at Christmas time for sure.
Then they're going to have Bill Belichick Day.
The memorial of, or like, yeah, memorials, optional memorials for coaches and players and things like that. For sure. People have impacted the game. I could see it happening. I mean, you're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot invested, literally invested in that sport. Well, all the same, we've got now two teams going to match up in the Super Bowl, and they are the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. How do you feel about those two teams?
Well, I made a prediction earlier, okay?
Yeah.
Kansas City, 42, 49ers, 28.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be Kansas City for the win. I think we've mentioned it on the podcast. If we haven't, let me mention it again, because, you know, as Father Marshall and you, actually it wasn't Father Marshall's observation as much as yours, that I heard when the two of you were on together, that I like to mention things more than once on multiple podcasts. You were making fun of my cigar reviews.
Well, yeah, because
being the same all the time, because I review the same cigar
all the time.
Well, it's a good cigar.
Did you review that nub that you're smoking at?
We have not done a tobacco review because we haven't played the music or anything. But I wanted to mention on the Kansas City Chiefs, they do have a kicker who is Catholic by the last name of Butker.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his family reside in Kansas City, and they actually go to Mass. Traditional Mass, actually go to Latin Mass over at a buddy of mine's parish. I don't remember the name of the parish off the top of my head per se, but just know that he goes to Mass there. And you can actually look him up on the internet.
Yeah, there's all kinds of articles about him.
Yeah, and you can see him like actually serving the Mass, which is kind of cool. You know, here's this rough and tough. You always think of these NFL players as rough and tough or whatever, but he's a young guy. I mean, he looks really young. He looks almost too young to have a family, but he's got a couple kids, I think. And you can see him, pictures of him on the internet in his, like, his cassock and surplus serving the mass. So pretty cool.
There's a lot of Catholics playing in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a lot of Catholics, period.
Yeah, it's true.
Philip Rivers, you know, just, by the way, he was moving now. He's moving to Florida with his, what does he have, 9 children?
And man, he's got a big old Catholic family.
So he's moving to Florida. So we'll see.
No kidding. Is he switching teams? Or?
Well, we don't know yet. Oh. But he's not going to play for...
not playing for Padres. San Diego anymore.
Or not the Padres.
The Chargers? No.
Chargers.
Yeah.
LA Chargers. See, you get it.
Is it the LA Chargers?
It's the LA Chargers.
Oh, really?
See, it used to be San Diego, who used to... Well, there was the San Diego Padres. Yeah. And it's hard to keep track of all this.
Yeah, for real.
And now the Raiders are going to be in, we think, in... Las Vegas. They're but guess what? Now they're saying that the stadium might not be finished in time for the season.
Oh, boy. They're the most, like, movingest team in my lifetime.
Yeah, they went from Oakland to L.A., then back to Oakland, and then now they're going to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, every time I turn around, they're moving. Mm-hmm. It'd be hard to be a Raiders fan. You wouldn't know where to find them.
Right.
Traveling across the country. So then, okay, let me leave this. I'll leave this question open for you to answer. What else is going on, Father?
Well, I'll tell you what's in a few weeks, we're going to have to record some early podcasts because I'm going to take my golf clubs to Arizona.
Okay. Nice.
Scottsdale.
Be good time to do that in a few weeks. It'll be cold here.
Yeah, dig this. In September, I'm going to Alaska.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in Alaska?
Going to go on a cruise.
Oh, that's cool. Is it the footsteps of St. Paul when he traveled through Alaska?
No, it's the footsteps of Nanook. Yeah, Nanook, I think is.
Shoot. Well, that'd be, you know, it's. I've heard a lot of good things about Alaska. I've heard it's just beautiful there, beautiful territory. Speaking of how beautiful our country is and diverse, that's one more area. You do you do any, I guess if it's a cruise, you're not going to be stopping off at any one place for very long, but you'll get to see some beautiful sights. And
well, we have friends there. Dale Walczak lives there.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know where he lives. I'm going to find out where he lives and if there's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, during one of the excursions or something.
Yeah, just go hang out with him.
That'd be great. I think one of these days I'm just going to have to hop on a plane and fly up there and spend like a week or two up there where he lives.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, not on a boat or anything. But, you know, I want to do the boat because I want to see the glaciers and all of that, right?
So yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what happens on the train. That would be just like the boat version, right? And going to places that trains can't get to. Like,
so where did you go out of Chicago?
So yeah, I went to Chicago.
I've done that same exact trip.
Chicago, and it goes through
Kansas
City, and then
goes through
St. Louis,
right?
Kansas City, and then Oklahoma, and then down, I don't know, through Texas.
What cuts through Colorado, part of Colorado?
Cuts through Colorado, yeah. Like the
Well, right there by Raton, you know, so then you start hitting the Rocky Mountains.
Absolutely, that's it, yep.
Then you come straight down to Albuquerque, and...
Yeah, beautiful.
And then it would go. If you were to stay on it, it would take you to Flagstaff, Arizona, then on to Los Angeles.
Yeah, it goes over to Los Angeles, in fact. But I've never done the cruises. I would like to try a cruise. I've heard they're fun.
A lot of fun.
I've heard they're fun.
Okay, so cigar review time.
Okay, let's do it.
You like to smoke cigars. You wish your girlfriend would.
Okay, listen, I'm smoking a Gurkha that I've never smoked before. And we were talking last week how sometimes Gurkha, either they're good or they just blow up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm smoking the Gurkha Park Avenue 44. Okay, and let me just kind of do a measurement.
Okay,
so this thing,
this is becoming a thing, huh?
Of course.
This is what has happened in my absence, that you guys now measure all the cigars?
Yeah, so it's like a 5.5-inch cigar. So, and the ring gauge... is 46, so it's a thinner cigar, and it's a natural, I think it's, I forget the filler, I had it pulled up on the internet a second ago, yeah, I got it right here, so Nicaraguan filler, and it's a Connecticut wrapper, so it's a light cigar, okay, and it's got a smooth taste, the review says that it has a look for a sort of a nutty baked bread taste, I don't taste any baked bread.
No bread.
Not that the bread I've tried before. So.
Well, but I don't. I mean, I'm not sure if they're thinking of people who eat Wonder Bread all the time.
Mm-hmm, but look, it's holding together pretty good.
It is.
You see that? And the burn is nice.
It does look like it's holding up.
So let's see, though. We'll find out. But so far, I like this. The Park Avenue 44 by Gurkha. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
You
on
would,
a Monday afternoon.
You'd smoke it again.
Yeah,
is that
of course.
What you're saying?
Mm-hmm. I enjoy this. Now, do I enjoy it as much as I enjoy the Padron? Not really, but yeah, if somebody handed me one of these, I would enjoy it.
Very
I wouldn't
cool.
reject it.
Right.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I well, like you said, I am smoking a nub today. Actually, one of the cigars I've smoked before.
And that's by Melania, isn't it? Same group?
No. Well, yes. Actually, yes. It's by Oliva.
Mm-hmm.
Oliva, who makes the Melanio.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just spend a few minutes talking about the Oliva Melanio cigar, since I haven't mentioned it?
Since the last time you were on a podcast.
For a month.
And the time before that.
No, you know what? Well, I'm smoking this nub, which is pretty good. It's a it is a Habano. And what's great about the nubs is that they're short, mm-hmm. But they still have a, you know, they're sizable. They're kind of fat cigars, but they're short. And so you get a good amount of flavor with the tobacco.
Exactly.
But they don't take forever to smoke.
So let's say, and this is my argument. So sometimes I'll light a cigar like a 7,000 or whatever, or Punch or whatever, and you know, I've got 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So then I end up not smoking or finishing the cigar. And so you put it out, and then really when you come back, if you do that and then you come back like 3 hours later and relight it, it just is losing. It loses so much.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, just throw it out. So if you have a short time to smoke a cigar, those cigars are perfect.
Yeah, 'cause
you can smoke one in 40 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. It goes pretty quick. And it's, you know, it's a decent smoke. I think the idea was kind of came, if I remember correctly, the idea came from how you'll smoke a big, maybe Churchill cigar down to a certain, well, to the nub, right? And then, you know, then you have this much tobacco left over that you have yet to get through. And some people might, you know, relight it and smoke it all the way through. Others would probably just say, well, I wish I could, you know, smoke the rest of that. So they just started designing them so that they would start out short. That way you don't have to worry about burning through the rest of the cigar on a, you know, when you don't have that much time to smoke. So I'm smoking this. It's pretty good. I'm not a huge fan of nubs, but it does suit, you know, a short smoke. The other cigar I had back at the Nikki Blaine's in Indianapolis, though, was the Zeno Platinum Pudge, I believe it's called. And again, also a short cigar. I was kind of in a hurry, waiting on my ride to show up, and I was in a hurry to kind of smoke a cigar, and found that one. A delightful cigar, by the way. I think it boasts, the taste notes boast something like, I don't know, like hay, like the taste of like hay and wood or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say those taste notes were pretty spot on, but it was just a really nice, natural, medium cigar flavor, and it was just really enjoyable. What a great cigar to smoke after having taken a break from them during the Advent season. So, big fan of the Zeno Platinum, and recommend the Nub if you don't have that much time to smoke.
There you go.
There you go, man.
Okay, so you want to talk about the gospel?
Hey, let's get into the gospel.
Hey, by the way, before as I'm looking this up,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Wednesday is, we're going to have the big pro-life march in Santa Fe.
That's right.
So,
this is the month of remembering, of course, the famous,
right.
The infamous decision of the Supreme Court in the United States, Roe versus Wade, that legalized abortion in our country, sadly, back in 1971, I believe, right? It was 71, I think. I think it was January 22nd, 21st.
Early 70s. I thought it was 73.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Somewhere in there. Okay, my brain's not working too good today, but it's around that time frame. And so, unfortunately, that law has been with us ever since, and we've seen a lot of dynamic movements in both directions across the country. Some states providing more and more legality to abortion, unfortunately. And then other states, actually, yeah, like our own, sadly. And then other states actually making moves against
it. And people wonder why our economy is dead last in the United States.
Mm. What do you mean?
I'm just thinking it's a result of, you know, I mean, this is terrible politics,
yeah.
The worst. And, you know, the person can come, this is one of the few states you can get an abortion at any stage of pregnancy.
Mm, what a shame. That is a terrible shame.
You know, late term, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the mm-hmm. state that's been that way for a long time.
Well, this is why.
And so I think that we're not being blessed by our God, and we are impoverished because of it.
I think there's definitely something.
Look at our poverty in this state.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true. Yeah, it's true. Well, it's a crime which cries out to God for vengeance. Mm-hmm. And we do well to stand up against it. And of course, we have opportunities throughout our country during this month to do that. A number of peaceful protests, marches taking place across the country. One, the famous one in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. which is probably the largest. And then you've got another one on the West Coast, San Francisco. And then I think there have been others in Denver, Chicago. And like you said, Father, this Wednesday in Santa Fe, New Mexico, yeah. we'll have one for everyone
and,
who wants
and
to
by the way,
for
in you know, the big one in Washington. So every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. So they have the big, you know, there's those big women's march, right? Also in Washington.
Right.
Each year the attendance has decreased.
No kidding.
And so in the meantime, the pro-life march, the attendance is increasing.
Yeah.
So how do you think the media reports it?
Oh, I'm sure they flip it.
Of course.
They flip it.
Of course.
Because the media does team, the mainstream media tends to have an agenda.
Of course.
Right. And yeah. and pro-life issues.
Yeah. So I mentioned to William last week, I said, you know what? I don't trust the media. You shouldn't either.
And what did Will say about all that?
Well, he agreed.
Well, he should agree because you're right.
Of course I'm right.
You're always right. Isn't that the
I'm
case?
Right. Even though I'm not the guy who knows everything, I'm always right. Even when I'm wrong, I'm right.
That's the way we should introduce you. The guy that's always right.
No matter what. Even when he's wrong.
Even when he's wrong, he's right. So we've got the pro-life march coming up. I actually might be going to that myself.
Yeah.
Like
so Archbishop Wester and then the mm-hmm. other guys, I think, from Wall, our Bishop Wall's coming
That's
in.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then the bishop, I think, do we have a new bishop in Las Cruces? I think we do. I don't
Newer,
know.
Yeah. I think so. More recent. Yeah. As a matter of fact. So there's three bishops currently in New Mexico, three dioceses, and they usually all show up for it, mm-hmm. as they should. And because we, you know, our leaders ought to be helping us, shepherding us to stand up for the right things. And the babies are, of course, a new life, you know, is preeminent among those values that we share as Catholics, Christians, and even just people of goodwill. You know, it's not just a Christian issue here. You don't even have to believe in God.
No, I know. I've met atheists mm-hmm. who are very pro-life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I've met Jews, Buddhists mm-hmm. who are pro-life.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And it truly is. Speaking of women's marches, I would say the pro-life march really is the true women's march, right? Because abortion does nothing other than to afflict women, you know, ultimately it's very damaging mm-hmm. to them. And so we don't condemn the women who've ever been in that unfortunate situation that have chosen so poorly. But we have mercy on them, and we also feel sad for them, and we want to encourage them to begin choosing rightly.
And seek reconciliation.
And
you can do so through the Blessed Mother.
Absolutely.
Right to Jesus, who's going to forgive because he loves you.
Absolutely. We have nothing but our arms open, ready to receive all those who seek to heal that part of their mm-hmm. past. And then be there and stand alongside those who are facing those difficult decisions so that we can help support them to make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very nice, man.
Okie dokie. Now, the gospel.
Yeah. So, second Sunday of Ordinary Time, and uh-huh. I explained earlier what Ordinary Time is.
Okay, good.
Okay, so, you know, last week was the baptism of Jesus,
right?
The feast of the Lord's baptism. So, the reading today takes us back to that spot, that time, John the Baptist, Jesus, and the baptism. Okay, so I'll read the gospel. It's John 1:29-34. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. John testified further, saying, 'I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, on whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen and testify that he is the Son of God.'" There you have it, man.
John the Baptist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Calling out the Savior, calling out the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and directing others to the Messiah. Of course, we heard a lot of leading up to Christmas. Of course, it's very typical to hear a lot of passages from Scripture that speak of John the Baptist paving the way, as it were, for the Messiah, the arrival of the Messiah.
From Isaiah, you know.
Not to mention, right, the words of Isaiah being repeated even, right, through the great prophet.
Well, there's that voice crying out in the desert. And so now we know that that voice is, you know, it points to the person of John the Baptist.
Absolutely. And so how would you say, Father, as the cycle of readings begins to kick off here in the start of the new year, would you say that this kind of begins to unveil the tellings of Jesus as the Messiah? And we're going to be led throughout the year, right, through the cycle of readings throughout the year, into a better familiarity with the life of Jesus and so forth. But of course, to start it all off, we have to have the revelation of Jesus as the Messiah as an infant in Bethlehem when the adoration of the Magi takes place. And then, of course, then we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, which is another manifestation or theophany, as we call it, a manifestation of Jesus, Jesus's divinity. And then, of course, you have a reading like this on this Sunday, reiterating that fact, you know, being told from the last of the prophets, John the Baptist, right? There won't be any other prophets after John the Baptist, but formal prophets, as it were. But John the Baptist is, as in this reading, telling us this is the one. This is the one we've all been waiting for.
So let me just say about John the Baptist, you know, we have the idea from Old Covenant Scripture that Elijah the prophet would come before the Lord, right? He'd be like a forerunner or the forerunner. Okay, so
not like the Toyota 4Runner, not like not like the cars that you like to drive.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, different kind of 4Runner.
Yeah, different.
Okay.
There you have Elijah, but Elijah doesn't appear. John the Baptist does. And the similarities, by the way, between Elijah and John are uncanny.
Yeah.
Okay, so both wear garments made of camel's hair. They have the leather strap around the waist. They both live in the wilderness. They both survive on tree bark and bugs and whatever else they can find, right?
Yeah.
But we don't see John appear. We have, or Elijah appear. We have John instead. But there's some place where Jesus says to his disciples, if you can accept it, John is Elijah.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that John is Elijah in person, like a reincarnation? No, not at all.
Not in reincarnation, no.
No, no, not at all. Because what it means simply is that John is the one who fulfills at that moment the office once held by Elijah, which is the prophetic office. Okay, so just as we say, you know, Pope Francis is Peter. Okay, or John Paul II was Peter. Not in person, but the fact that, you know, they held that office, the papal office. Okay. So in that sense, then, John at the time was Elijah. So John fulfills the old covenant, you know, the prophecies, correct?
Right.
Right. So John is the one who, you know, when he was baptizing, and why did he baptize? Well, first of all, it was an old covenant ritual whereby normally adults who converted to Judaism, they were baptized, and it was a symbolic washing away of the stain of sin.
Yeah.
Right. But it could do nothing but wash the body. So it was just mere symbolism. But
that's right.
So Jesus came forward, and I just love it because John steps back, because John was told by the Spirit that he would see, you know, he would know when the Messiah came forward, you know. And so when Jesus walked up, I love it. Behold, and I think we should talk about this. What does it mean, Lamb of God? Behold the Lamb of God. You know, and we say that at Mass, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right?
Right.
So when he saw that, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And then the skies opened up for him and he heard that voice of God. So it's interesting because John is one who testifies to his disciples saying, who you think I am not. There's one coming after me, and here he is, you know?
And this is the one.
So John testifies, well, God himself and the Father testified to John that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. So John hears it from the very voice, the mouth of God spoke in John's ear and said, you know, this is my son. This is the Messiah. And then John in turn testifies to what he was told by the Father as Jesus came forward to be baptized.
Yeah. In fact, this reminds me of another testimony being given by St. Peter later in the Gospels when Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter eventually speaks up after other responses were given, Peter speaks up and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." You see this consistent accent on the fact that this kind of faith comes from God.
Right.
To be able to testify to Jesus being the Messiah.
And I know we talked about this on a other podcast. By the way, I think it was last week or the week before was our 100th podcast.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys did it without me, man. What the heck?
Oh, you just weren't here for those few. Oh, and all summer last year because you were in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hey, were you amused that we thought you were in Bermuda and had been abducted by aliens?
No, but I did think it was funny that you guys thought I was probably out there like training people how to drive Greyhound buses and Amtrak trains, because I think I got mistaken for a Greyhound bus driver by the way I was dressed one day at the Greyhound station.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Well, anyway, okay. So I wasn't training anybody to drive anything.
All right. So,
you
know, there's that scene. And again, we talked about it in a previous podcast when on the Transfiguration. Okay, so Jesus was with the three disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Elijah appears, and there's Moses as well.
Right.
By their being there, they testify to the reality or the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God and God.
Right.
But then the three disciples, including Peter, was one of the three, who he too heard that voice of the Father, just the way John did, you know?
Yeah.
Saying pretty much the same thing. This is my son. Listen to him.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You just said something that tipped off a thought in my head, and it was fleeting. So now I'm going to forget it.
Okay, well, let me just say this, that the fact that I can testify or you can testify to Jesus is the Messiah. Well, where did we get this from? Okay, maybe we heard it from a preacher. Maybe we heard it from our parents.
Mm.
But it was the Holy Spirit ultimately who confirmed it all.
That's
otherwise,
right.
it wouldn't stick.
Yeah, ultimately, yeah, exactly. That's the thought I was having, was that one of the reasons we know that Jesus is the Messiah is because of the prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures that lead up through the New Testament, through the figure of John the Baptist, right? And that all point in the direction of Jesus. And the fact that Jesus is the only one that has fulfilled all of the prophecies, right?
And
of all
law.
The ones that have ever claimed to be Messiah, he's the only one that has fulfilled the prophecies, the law.
The law points to, the law given through Moses points to a person.
Right.
And Jesus is that person.
Right. And so, and this is part of the confirmation that within is, like you said, ultimately confirmed through the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would dare say, which we are given in a special way, right, through confirmation, the sacrament of confirmation, to know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. It is he who we ought to be following.
Right. But when you think about you mentioned the Old Covenant prophecies and the Old Covenant law, and all of that, you know, testifies to Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the only person who fits the description. He's the only one who, you know, can impossibly, he's like, you know, that piece in the puzzle. He's only Jesus fits the shape, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, and one of the things I wanted to mention, it kind of goes back to something you were almost going to speak about that kind of fits into what we're saying here, is that Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And we find this, like you said, in the liturgy, a couple of places, both when the priest holds up the host and announces, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world,
right?
But also before that moment, when we say that in threefold form, the Agnus Dei, or the Lamb of God, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us,
right?
Or in Latin, it's Agnus Dei. I don't remember. It was some years ago, somebody asked me, and it's probably not an uncommon thing for people to think, but if you don't know Latin very well, you might have the same question. Who is this Agnus Dei anyway? And where does she live? And why are we talking about her at Mass? And so the truth is, it's not Agnus, but Agnus. Agnus Dei, which is simply the Latin form of the words Lamb of God. And we say, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the exact same words that John is sharing in this gospel.
Right.
what's beautiful about calling Jesus the Lamb of God is that it matches to a type, right, or a foretelling of him found in the Old Testament as early as the book of Exodus, when the people are in slavery in Egypt and they're counting on, well, God is appointing Moses to lead them out of their slavery. But as part of that process, after all the plagues, God instructs his people, the Israelites, to sacrifice a stainless lamb out of their flock, right? A perfect lamb with no stain, with no impurities
words,
or anything like that.
No broken bones, no cuts, no bruises, no, you know, deformities of
It's a perfect lamb, right, that comes out of the flock that they're to sacrifice and then to use the blood to spread over their doorposts, the wood of the doorposts of their houses, so that the angel of death will pass over their house and spare them and grant them life, essentially, right? And then, of course, they're also instructed, which sometimes gets overlooked, they're also instructed to eat the lamb. And what's beautiful about all this typology...
By the way, eat in flight.
Eat in flight. Yes, in fact. Yeah, you're right. Well, so talk about why that's so significant when we then arrive upon the New Testament and the revelation of Jesus the Messiah and what he then gives of himself to us.
Okay, in flight, you mean?
Well, all of it. Like, why is it so? How does this match up? The blood on the doorposts and the Lamb of God and the Lamb from the fold and now Jesus.
Okay, so they put the blood on the post, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that the angel of death would pass by, seeing who was, in fact, faithful to the Lord.
Mm.
Okay, so then the plague passed over. And then, by the way, this was celebrated this as a remembrance every year from that day forward, I believe, the Passover feast.
Yep.
And not just that particular feast was celebrated, but at other times animals were sacrificed as acts of thanksgiving to give thanks to the Lord for the favors he bestowed upon the people throughout the year.
Right.
But also to atone for sin and to win God's favor.
Right.
All right. Now, the problem with those sacrifices was, well, you know, it's just the offering of a dumb animal. Okay. Right. So as... you know, maybe as acts of thanksgiving, okay, but to atone for sin, no, because sin didn't come through a dumb animal. It came through a person and a perfect person at that. That would be Adam, right? So now when Jesus came forward, what was he doing when he was baptized? He was beginning his ministry.
Yeah.
And what was his ministry? To preach the gospel, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but to bring healing and to forgive sin.
That's right.
To forgive sin and to forgive sin.
Right.
Okay, by doing what? Offering himself as the sacrifice.
That's right.
The perfect sacrifice, not the sacrifice of a dumb animal, but the sacrifice of a human person, a perfect human person.
That's right.
To the Father, hence the Lamb of God.
And where does he make his sacrifice? On a cross.
On a cross.
Made of wood.
Made of wood.
Right? So think about it. Even at those, on the doorposts or the lintels, as they say in some translations of those homes, in Egypt, where the Israelites were enslaved, the doorposts would have had a vertical and a horizontal.
Correct.
And granted, they weren't in the shape of a cross, but there was a vertical and there was a horizontal as part of that construction.
Right.
So now when you intersect the vertical and the horizontal and the new Lamb of God, the ultimate Lamb of God's blood is spread out on that wood. It's the sign of for the angel of death to pass over. And thus, anyone who then participates in that through faith, right? Like we do, we are also then saved ultimately from death. He conquers death through that experience. He conquers the angel of death by his own blood as the Lamb of God, as the Agnus Dei. But then we who believe in him, and not only believe in him, but partake of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also then are saved and given eternal life.
And it's interesting because those old animal sacrifices, it's true, the people, the priest and the people consume that sacrifice, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, but I think that's what's beautiful. Some people don't realize that, like, after the blood is put on the doorpost, then the Israelites were instructed to eat the entire, right? Body and blood, the entire animal.
In flight. So
now, of course, we have a connection here to
the Eucharist.
Right. But why is it so important to understand the in-flight part of that scripture?
Because we are on a journey. We are on a journey. We're not going now. And in fact, what we hear about in the book of Exodus, right, with the escape from the land of slavery, which was Egypt, through Get this, the waters of the sea, the Red Sea, the Lord led them through the waters, through the desert, and then into the promised land.
Right.
So we go from the place of slavery, which is we're, you know, conceived, we're born, we're brought into this world as slaves of the evil one, into the darkness of sin and ignorance.
That's right.
And then we pass through the waters of baptism.
That's right.
And now we're on a journey through the desert on our way to the promised land of heaven. So we are in flight. We are on a journey, which, by the way, really is a slap in the face to this idea that once saved, always saved.
Right.
Okay, that's just an aside, but it's true. We are on a journey.
Yeah.
Okay, on our way now.
Absolutely. And what did they, and by the way, hearkening back to Jesus himself does this in John chapter 6. He hearkens back to the journey that the Israelites were making through the desert. Mm-hmm. And he says that while they were going through the desert, what did God do for them? He gave them what?
Manna. Which was called the food for the journey, or the bread of angels, the food for the journey.
That's right. The food that came down from heaven. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the word manna means nothing other than what is it?
Bread.
Because it means what is it? It's a Hebrew word meaning
what is it?
Whatchamacallit, which is one of my favorite candy bars, by the way. Just an aside.
Yeah, but they didn't eat candy bars.
They didn't have candy bars.
And had they had candy bars, I would have insisted on a Reese's peanut butter cup.
But it does say that it tasted a little bit like honey, right? Or they put honey on it. I can't remember. Anyway, so point being that they had the manna, but that was, again, just a type, right? And so ultimately Jesus comes as the bread of angels, he himself giving his own body and blood to us as we are on a journey in flight, like you said, right? Mm-hmm. Having sacrificed himself, he now gives us himself through the Eucharist that we receive every time we go to Mass as we make our journey through this lifetime to our promised land of heaven.
And you know, by the way, when he talks about this manna, because Jesus mentions it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, your ancestors ate manna in the desert.
That's right. And yet
they died.
And yet they
died. But I'm going to give you food that you may eat, that you may live forever. Absolutely. And this is right before he began to teach them about the Holy Eucharist.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, the beginning, as Jesus began his public ministry, it all started with baptism. He was baptized. He didn't need to be baptized.
No.
But he was baptized for the purpose of, as I mentioned last week, sanctifying the waters.
That's right.
And through which every generation would be. Okay, so Jesus was baptized to give us an example also of the importance of it. And then he began his public ministry. We are baptized, which sets us off now. Okay, and it doesn't matter if you're 4 or 5 years old, you're in a ministry.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're never too. When I was 8 years old, I was evangelizing I was telling my friends about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not. You say, well, I'll wait till after I'm confirmed, or I become a priest, then I'll do it, or when I'm a parent, then I'll teach my children. Nonsense. You're never too young to start sharing your faith and helping lead souls to heaven.
That's right. Amen to that.
Yep.
Amen to that. And to be sustained by all the sacraments, including most especially the source and summit of our faith, the Holy Eucharist. And so here we are. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Every time we say those words, we're simply repeating words spoken by John the Baptist, the great prophet, who's foretelling the arrival of the Messiah in the person of Jesus Christ, who we have the privilege of journeying with in this lifetime. And kind of like another little typology note that I'd like to mention as I'm thinking about this is how Jesus is, he's the new everything, but he's the new Adam. He's also the new Moses, right? He's leading us like Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He's leading us out of the slavery of our sin, right? Our attachments to these worldly things on our journey to heaven, helping us free ourselves.
Yeah. Now here's another, I love this, you know, the prefigurement typology.
Mm.
So Moses was led up by God. The Spirit led him into the mountain where, you know, he was transfixed, right? So there was the light of the Lord shine on his face. He was so radiant that when he went down, he had to cover his head so that people couldn't see his radiance because his whole countenance was changed.
Yeah.
So now Jesus, when we go back to the transfiguration, he is led. Okay. So, there's three disciples he's transfigured.
Mount Tabor.
But the difference is now his three disciples could look at him without Jesus having his face veiled, which is a foreshadowing to our now seeing the Lord God in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
Very hip.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. And then, also, I just want to mention, too, that, you know, we mentioned how John, you know, testified to the validity of Jesus being the Messiah, as did the Old Covenant prophecies and the law itself. Okay. Then later, of course, the, well, the works of not only the, there's the words of Jesus, you know, Jesus, who would drop hints that he is the Messiah, right? Many mm-hmm. different times. Mm-hmm. In various ways, but then he backed up his words with his works, doing mm-hmm. things that only the Lord God could do. Then, of course, came the greatest proof was the resurrection, and then we have the testimony of the eyewitnesses who were there, and the fact that they were subject themselves to martyrdom, okay, to further or to concretize, I guess, their testimony.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
All right, so now
Absolutely.
When you and I, you know, we're believers, and, you know, I learned from my parents, okay, but also the priest in the church and the religious, you know, education leaders and the teachers and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But what they taught me was confirmed by the Spirit himself who has given me faith. And right. without that, then I don't, you know, why should I take... You know, why would I just see this as, you know, give me some proof, you know, but the Holy Spirit has confirmed it all.
Absolutely.
And in the moments of, that I may have doubt, because like everybody else, I may have some moments of doubt, but then the Holy Spirit comes to calm me and to reconfirm what I've always believed.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just like we see in the responsorial psalm of the Mass, it demands something of a response mm-hmm. To this information. If we have arrived to the point of belief in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, then we have to say, what do I do about it next? And in this responsorial psalm, beautifully recited, says, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will."
Yeah.
Because your will is greater than mine. I am available now mm-hmm. to you. Mm-hmm. Direct my steps, whatever those next steps, next best
right.
steps be
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Yeah.
In my family, in my workplace. In my own daily life, how I look at the world, right? How I hope yeah. for my future destiny in heaven, how I rise above the many distractions that could otherwise drag me down and mm-hmm. cause me to be miserable. Here I am, available to do your will.
I had this thought this weekend. You have time?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I had it.
Yeah, I had this thought this weekend that, you know, God came down from heaven to rescue us.
Uh-huh.
Because we were, you know, with the fall, you know, original sin, we are created in, we are brought into this world stained with the stain of a, you know, original sin. You know, infants and babies are quite cute and beautiful and all of that, right? But
yeah.
in reality, on the inside, you know, the stench of sin, right?
We all inherit. We all inherit.
We all inherit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord came, and because of that, by the way, I would say that we are all destined for hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prior to baptism.
Yeah, because
or
it's
prior,
just...
prior to Jesus doing what he did.
You set that soul that's yeah. brought into this world in mm-hmm. the stain of sin, do nothing with it, and just let it take its course. It's on its way to destruction.
Right.
That's why God became one of us. So look at it. You know, I kind of came up with this idea that it's kind of a visual. You know, let's say you go down into a mine shaft, Tony,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and there's a collapse. Okay. So then here comes the rescue team and they find you. And the leader of the team says to you, "Tony, we're going to get you out, but you have to stay close to me, stay
yeah.
close to us, stay close to me, follow me."
Mm.
Okay. And do everything I tell you to do. Mm. Follow my instruction and I will get you safely through the other side. Okay. So in the same sense, I mean, Jesus came to us. He's rescued us through the waters of baptism. Now he sets us on a path,
mm-hmm.
but we have to follow his instructions. We have to stay very close to him and follow him and keep his, you know, his instruction, which yep. is, you know, keeping his commandments.
Yeah. I like that. I like that right. analogy a lot.
Isn't it true though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And you can think, and you can even just as I visualize that analogy you're speaking of, or was it a metaphor?
A metaphor.
Yeah, right?
I don't even know if I have that music.
You've lost it.
Maybe.
Might being gone for a
month.
Might
be on a file somewhere.
You know, I think of even the Easter liturgy, these Saturday night vigil mm-hmm. Of Easter, where the church is all dark, right? And then we light these candles off of the Easter candle, which is representative of Jesus, the light of the world. And like, I think of in that situation you just described, that scenario, you'd imagine the person helping you would come with some form of light, right? So maybe a flashlight or a headlamp or something like that, and maybe even hand you one so that you could see where you're stepping as they're leading you out of that dark cavern that you've fallen into. You know, it's beautiful. I think it's a perfect analogy. Yeah, and you're right. Like, we would, it's funny, practically speaking, we would more probably, most of us, I'm speaking for myself here because I'm a, you know, adult of a disciple, but we would more readily give ourselves over in faith and trust to this person leading us out of that dark tunnel than we would trust Jesus that he has all the right answers for our life, right? How many times do we think, oh, I know better, Lord. You just kind of catch me if I fall. I kind of got this, you know, instead of saying, Lord, you know the way. I'm just going to like pay real close attention and keep my mouth shut and you tell me what's next.
Lord, you are the all-knowing. Okay, but I think I have this was Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But we have a better way.
Yeah.
There's another way that's, and in fact, it's more fun.
Yeah.
It's more fulfilling. So we have a better way, even though you're God and you know everything and you have, you know, you want what is best for us, but you know, we have a better way.
Yeah.
Even I got this, we came up with this, you know, we had this conversation with this thing that showed up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that would be like, okay, so you're the rescue team's leading you through the tunnel, right? Back into the safety and freedom of fresh air above ground. And you see some tunnel.
Right.
And you're like, that's interesting. Check this out. And you'd leave. You just walk away, you know. And then the team turns around and behind, they're like, where did he go? Where'd he go? And now you're in this tunnel. Stupid man you are. And there you are. You're lost again.
Yep.
You know.
That's beautiful. That's a perfect analogy. I think it fits very well. So, you know, so often it's God not just saving us from, say, the world and the devil and the flesh, but also just saving us from ourselves.
Well, because we are our own worst enemies. Look, the devil can tempt me all he wants, but I don't have to agree to it. I don't have to give a nod to it.
Yeah.
So if I commit sin, the Lord doesn't punish Satan. Satan's already been punished.
Yeah.
He, and you know, it's on me.
Absolutely.
You know, it's on me.
Absolutely. Just like a good father. A good father would never stop disciplining his child if he loved them.
Exactly. Right. And if he punishes me, it's not because he's mean and, you know, and doesn't want me to have any fun. No, he wants me to do the right thing so as to avoid doing the wrong thing, which could be very dangerous and destructive. Very simple. Just as a good father does, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. So now listen, that's our talk. That's our
Examination. Review.
That's our gospel review for
that's
the day.
That's our gospel review.
So we did the, you know, one of these days I'm going to do another song. And maybe we'll have a game show one of these days.
I'm surprised.
We should have an old NFL Super Bowl quiz, don't you think?
That'd be great. I think we should do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leading up to the Super Bowl, which is on the same weekend, isn't it, as the end of the Christmas tide?
Yeah. It's the
February 2nd weekend.
It's on the Super Bowl this year is on the feast of the
Presentation of the Lord.
That's right. Candlemas
/ presentation or purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yep.
Very cool. Yeah, we're looking forward to that and looking forward to having Will back. By the way, before we get too far gone here or before we close up shop, I need to mention a shout out that Will wanted me to make on his behalf. Mm-hmm. Do you have any shout outs while I'm looking this one up?
Well, I always have shout outs, you know, to just all kinds of people. But I'd have to go through the Rolodex in my head right now.
Right.
It's just kind of
all the many people who have blessed us with gifts over the Christmas season. Of course, we're
very generous.
We're super stoked about that and grateful for you. Grateful for everybody who listens to this podcast. What a great year 2019 was. Yeah. Looking forward to an even better year in 2020. Here's the shout out that Will wanted me to pass along. This is a shout out to Kendrick Senna's sister-in-law. Her name is Felicia. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Nickname Lita. And just want to give her a shout out for listening and also to congratulate her on the victory of her favorite football team, the Kansas City Chiefs, who are now on their way to the Super Bowl.
All right. So I'll throw this. We're going to say that to the entire Fleury family.
Yeah.
Because they showed up. Every kid was this in red.
Really, supporting the Chiefs.
Yeah, so they love
the
Chiefs.
A lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans out
there. And then so I might have mentioned this last week, but Brad and Taylor Kornruff, they had a baby, Charlie.
Hey,
so I baptized the baby.
That's great.
And so
cool.
Very exciting. Beautiful. Well, I did mention it last week because
that's awesome.
That kid is beautiful, but you've seen the parents.
Yeah, well, they're
could they have anything but a beautiful
they're a handsome
baby,
couple. Yeah. They're a handsome couple.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of handsome couples there in that parish.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
St. John Vianney. Speaking of which,
what?
So there's still ways to support things going on at St. John Vianney.
There is. In fact, we've gotten a couple of donations from elsewhere, other states.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
So,
well, thank you
listen,
for those.
So yeah, we got the church. It's beautiful. You know, we need to start posting the pictures online and all
of the things of the designs.
Yeah, and I'll talk to Ken about that and mm-hmm. we'll get that going.
Awesome.
But sjvnm.org is the place to go to donate. So if you just go to where it says, donate or building campaign,
yeah,
you can do it, yeah, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And we love being in touch with everybody who listens to the podcast, and especially if you have anything you'd like to add or questions you'd like to ask, always like to bring those up on the podcast. Just email us, I think, at the similar type of, I don't even know, Will's not here, so I don't have any of the information of how to contact us.
Well, it's
something about the InstaFace and the
InstaFace
and the Snapbook and the Twitter page or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we on Twitter? I have no idea.
I don't know.
So I've never.
Honestly, I don't know, but I know you can find us on Instagram, and you could probably track us down through the website. Yeah. And send us a line, give us a review on iTunes and Google Play and all that other good stuff.
In fact, did we get any new reviews? Let me have a look.
I don't even have a connection to those.
We'll stall. See, we may have. Every now and again, you never know. Sometimes you get surprised by, hey, a new review. So let me see if we have any new reviews. I am just babbling as I stole.
No.
Nope.
You're looking through those. No new reviews, huh?
Come on,
well,
man.
This is 2020. We should set a goal. We should set a goal of X amount of new reviews or something for this year.
Like how many? 20?
I think 100. Let's set the bar high.
We're at, right now, we're at 43. There's 43,
let's
but they're not.
Let's make it to 100.
There's 43,
let's make it to 100. And I'll tell you what, speaking of giving a response, if you know of anybody that would benefit from a listen to this goofy podcast that also, talks a little bit about God and encourages one another in the faith, then pass this along. Let other people know. And, especially if it's somebody that actually enjoys cigars or something, it might be, something nice for them to combine their interests in tobacco and also...
But even if you don't like cigars, you don't ever intend to smoke a cigar.
True.
Our cigar review is, 3, 4, 5 minutes? Unless Will is here, then it's like 20 minutes. But that because you got to talk about the nuttiness and the cedar taste.
Well,
and the
very complicated reviews.
Goodness, So any case, but it's very short. And then we get to, we talk about other things, not just the gospel.
That's right.
We talk about other things Catholic, and so on. So
that's why we exist. We exist to just kind of build a network,
a
community of believers.
That's exactly right.
People who are interested in following the Lord and with their lives and then enjoying some of the good things of life, like football and cigars.
That's right.
And other things. Heck, if you've got something or an idea for something we should talk about, let us know about that too.
Yeah.
We'll be happy to bring it up.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's it. Then next time we'll be talking about something else.
But related to the things we talked about today, I'm
sure.
Sure.
That's right. Hey, why don't you say goodbye?
Goodbye, everybody. God bless you.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Redbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.